Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. We have a wonderful cast here. You can ask them, feed them questions, and have a banter back and forth about how all this came about. My name is Jason Fitzgerald, and I'm the director of the play, Rob Lupo, writer and musical director. So, and of course, you've met the cast before. So you can start anywhere, people. I am not a moderator. So you can ask the questions.
Okay. I read this play in a previous iteration, and there were a couple of things that were added, like Uncle Lou's like Cajun Christmas poem of sorts. Where did you guys get those recent additions? Is that an actual Cajun poem of Christmas?
It's a takeoff on The Night Before Christmas. It's just like the Cajun version. You can probably find Italian version, Polish version, Irish version, so I just made up the Cajun version.
I really felt like it added a lot of color, local color.
I think Ted Reverie is over there. He added a lot dramatically to it.
And it's just funny.
Especially with the hat.
A few years ago, there was a live reading of this done with the name Rock and Ralph's Roadhouse of North Shore Community College.
Right.
I remember you going on stage with the books and everything like that. Was anyone in the current cast in that at all, or is it a totally new cast, Ralph? You were in it? I think I remember, yeah. I think I remember you.
Were you the original character?
Yeah. But they still made me audition for this one.
Yeah, we had Gary Shane, local musician, playing like the radio DJ. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So. I was also going to ask, I know you only have this for two nights. If you can find a venue that would host you for 2-3 weeks in a row or something, have you considered it?
Let's get through this
night. We've got one more night we have to deal with.
You got one more night.
We're taking a break. Who knows what is coming down the road?
Yeah.
Further on down
the road.
And you did this in New Orleans too, didn't you? Didn't you present this in New Orleans?
Just with a group of my students. We did it at the Stinnett Church. We did a reading of it once down there with some of my students.
And that's all you got?
might be a good time to plug that some of these songs are on a couple of Sweet Box Thumper's albums, right?
You got right, yeah.
At least the second, actually all three albums they appear on, roughly, I think.
Yeah,
at least the first two.
Time for shameless marketing, but
yep.
The CD that says Rock and Ralph's Roadhouse has all of the songs, the studio version, much longer, plus I added a couple of other songs. Some of the songs are written before the play, some during while we're writing the play. Some afters, or it's been a process. It's been about 10 years, believe it or not, when I first started working on this.
Janet. So my question is, I teach at a high school, and I was wondering, what kind of grant funding would it take to bring this to my school? I mean, every year, so.
Some evidence.
Let's pass the hat.
We got to take some of the squares
out. Oh, yeah. It would help.
Long Beyond may be a little too racy for the kids.
There were a couple of kids in the audience, too.
I'm sure they can get it.
You write the grant?
Yeah, how much?
We'll talk about it.
I've worked on the grant. What kind of money?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to ask my
$20,000.
That's
the gas.
I don't know. We can talk later.
Okay.
I'm the worst business person in the world.
You got one right there.
Correct.
You guys, how long is it? 6 or 8 weeks you guys worked on it?
Six weeks.
So with
2 nights a week.
Did you find it really tough getting the songs in with it, or was it more that was the better part and then the acting part was the harder part?
I don't know what I was like, but I'm not a singer, per se, right? So I think it was harder for me to get the song down than it was to remember all of my lines in the play. But once you get on stage and you get into it, then it just starts to feel really natural. Yeah. starts to
really
come
together.
Yeah,
because you guys, I mean, pretty well transitioned on all of them. So I was very impressed with that.
The singing parts really were only practiced in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did evolve over the course of the production.
Yeah. Did it help or
the song?
Yes.
Yeah. And David, Mr. Worthington had a song where he descended from the rafters on a crescent moon. Singing, give him the old razzle dazzle.
So that version requires a few thousand more dollars.
It's all about the lighting.
I just wanted to make a comment. Your accents, your New Orleans accents were perfect. So you sounded really well. I don't know, I didn't hear you speak too much, but the other people have been speaking, and I can hear that you do not have New Orleans accents, but you emulated them so well. Excellent.
Thank you, that was not an easy thing. Not an easy part of it.
The nicest thing anybody ever said to me.
It was kind of fun switching. I have to make that joke about the Bostonian, where I totally have a Boston accent myself, so it's kind of weird. Sort of the other way around, but it was fun to make fun of it.
Well, Leonard Nimoy came from Boston, and he sure lost his accent. You don't hear a Boston accent. You didn't hear a Boston accent on him.
Which of you lives furthest away from here? Just curious, like, how.
Are you going to give him a ride home?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, 100 miles or so.
And then back. I'm not, you know, just curious how people end up involved in things in Winfrey.
I was going to say, like, one of the things during the play, when we first saw him, we thought, what a jerk, but you actually turned out to be a very lovable character. Because here's the guy from FEMA, the villain, and he turns out to be one of the heroes.
We're not making a general statement. We're just talking about individual characters and their own development.
Yeah. The time goes by in the play, and he changes and other people change as you get to know each other.
Rob, I want to ask you, how much of this material is taken from specific individuals' stories, or how much is, like, sort of represented?
Well, I can give you, like, a statistic, but there are several stories. That's what inspired me to write this, because I went down to New Orleans with a group of students from North Shore, and they were talking to people. We were, you know, in their houses, and they were talking about, you know, being rescued out of the roof, and how the oil company was digging in their backyard, and the surveyors were all looking at their property before they even got to come back. And so a lot of these stories are based on the truth. The character of Sadie is really based on Mary, if you want to know, who was the person who took us around when we first arrived in New Orleans. So I don't know, I'd say maybe like 30-35% of the stories, and then I did a lot of research and so forth to try to fill in the gaps. But a lot of truth, I hope, to what this play says. I hope.
We could add you got a letter from somebody.
Yes. I got a letter from a woman down in New Orleans when I was first doing the casting, and she wanted to audition for the part. And so I said, well, all right, I'll send you the script. And she sent me back a letter. She said, this script is like too close to the truth. I started crying. And she told me about, you know, her grandmother, house, her mother died right away from stress. And then her grandmother died another year later. They didn't have the rights to the house. The house, all they can do is cut the grass in front of it. It's rotting, you know, all this sort of stuff. She doesn't have a job. And so what I did is I took her email and I forwarded it to Common Ground Relief, and they said that they didn't work. So it's, you know, despite what you might hear, like, oh, I heard something say, well, this is the best thing that happened in one. No way. Some of these areas are still like devastating areas. The bulldozed, the EVs, some people have to come back. Some places have come back, others haven't. So it's, you know, it's a long, involved process, and unfortunately, I don't think the moment is quite the same.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
us. So reading that. I also did another show where I was portraying somebody from New Orleans. So I've had that contact. Having that there is definitely and a real good intention.
Yeah, you also have much of the black and black. Yeah, just like pictures of actual things that are going on, like pictures of actual situations and conditions. And yeah. I can't wait to read that and understand why they're
And what Ralph was just saying about how people were saying, like, it's the best thing that happens to Katrina. Like I was saying, I was just watching Meet the Press like 2 weeks ago, and they had this whole thing about how the hurricane was the number one reason why Katrina is great now. And I'm like, what? And it was like, they were talking about how the schools are better and how there's more industry and people are becoming entrepreneurs. And they were like really trying to put like this positive swing on it. And I'm like, is this really a national news show? Like, what are we talking about here? But it was really interesting. Yeah, it's like really interesting how they were trying to put the swing on. Exactly, yeah. So I think for me, it's like, you have to think about the individual people's lives as opposed to thinking about the national news story that comes out of a tragedy like that, you know? So, and I think that this play really kind of identifies individuals, like you were saying, and how people change. Like, you hated Howard for a second, but then you love them. So it's like, yeah, so it's the individual stories that come out of a huge tragedy that help kind of move the actors.
Even though I played the sleazeball, one of the things that struck me was we just had, you know, the worst winter on record up here in the Northeast, and it was on the news almost nonstop. Another blizzard. But it melts, and yeah, people have damage to their roofs and damage to the gutters, and maybe their car got damaged by a plow or a fall. Ten years after one day of destruction, this city, thousands and thousands of people are still struggling to get it back together. So as bad as we suffered through, you know, the MBTA was late, you know, these people had no way to get anywhere. And I wrote the end piece on the next to last page of the program. And as I was researching that, there are people that have no insurance. They're just building as they can for imagine that from a blizzard. Just the devastation to me in home. Unbelievable.
I was in New Orleans in March of 2014, not that long ago, and the cab driver said it was 7 years before he returned to driving again cab.
I would like to say this right before we move, but I would like to thank all of the cast members for, you know, devoting their, you know, themselves. It was really very fast, 6 or 7 weeks to do a lot of this work. And I would like to thank, personally, Jason, the director.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
All right, very good.
I think I may say something, Stan, please.
Oh.
This lady's name is Katrina.
Oh.
And I'm from the South.
Katrina is the person that put myself and Ralph and Deidre together.
Oh, you showing me that these people are yes. These people?
Katrina, yeah. Yes. I met Katrina in the library. She passed and saw a little book I had, I Art Arts, and we started talking. Then she told me about Ralph, and before you know it, I was doing a reading. And then Ralph and I met, and then the directing stuff came about. So Katrina has been the eye of this storm. So from one conversation, we got this conversation.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you all for coming.
All right, thank you.
Very good.
Hope to see you later on down the road.
Yeah.